join internet sweetheart Dale. No, that's not quite right. What's another? Join the your master of ceremonies, Dale. No, that's too. Oh, I got an idea. Join the guy who knows things about stuff. This is the generic live show with the guy who knows things about stuff, Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the generic live show for a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here with you. We're doing it for Geeko. Thanks for joining us. It's a pleasure as always. It's hour two of the program. Let's hope that hour two of the program was better than hour one of the program. That's for damn sure. Thanks for joining us here on the generic live show for a Sunday. I've got weird hair, I'm drinking out of a juice box, things are getting a little, it's like a zombie survivor movie all up in this grill, but yeah, we're pushing on here at the Generic Live Show HQ, you know, we're doing what we have to do. So it's hour two of the program. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. Well, G20 is underway, and we don't really talk about G20 here on the show, but you know, we had to fill time, you know, because there wasn't really that much news this week. So, you know, we had to talk about G20. That's how bad that things have gotten. So, you know, why not? So we've got a story here. We're gonna let a news article read to us, you know, because this worked out so well last hour.
Thousands of people have taken to the streets of Hamburg, Germany, to protest against capitalism, climate policies, and globalization, among other issues, as world leaders gather for the 2-day G20 summit. Demonstrators and officers clashed in some neighborhoods on Friday, prompting the Hamburg police to request additional reinforcements to help cope with the scale of the protests. According to officials, about 20,000 police officers were already on duty for the 2-day summit, where the leaders of the world's top economies will tackle everything from trade to climate change to major conflicts. Some activists smashed windows and torched patrol cars and other vehicles on Friday morning, while riot police used water cannon and pepper spray on activists. A police spokeswoman also said that at least 159 officers had been injured and at least 45 people had been arrested. Hamburg police said at least 45 people had been arrested during protests on Thursday and Friday, Hannibal Hank Reuters. More than 100,000 people are expected to take part in demonstrations and marches across Hamburg on Friday and Saturday. Those in the streets are protesting against a number of issues, including capitalism, climate policies, and globalization. There are so many issues involved politically in the G20 summit, said Al Jazeera's David Chatter, reporting from Hamburg. They are against the globalist capitalist system. They are against Trump's attempts to pull out of the climate change accords. They're essentially protesting every single issue that's going to be raised in this G20 summit. Trump-Putin talks. President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin had a brief first encounter on Friday when they shook hands and exchanged pleasantries. Al Jazeera's James Bays, reporting from Hamburg, said Trump and Putin have important issues to discuss, particularly Ukraine, but also the issue of Syria, where it is believed that there may be a new initiative coming from Russia and the US to try to get the political track moving and to try to get some stabilization zones around Syria. Trump's meeting with Putin will take place at the same time as a closed-door meeting on climate change, which could be a bit of a sign about Trump's policies on the climate, Bays said. Also on Friday, protesters blocked the route of US First Lady Melania Trump, according to the German DPA news agency. A White House spokeswoman told Al Jazeera that the First Lady's motorcade could not be given clearance to leave because of the security situation. Protests against the G20 have taken place across Hamburg since last week, Boris Rosler, DPA AFP. Many other groups are calling for peaceful protests and are pushing the G20 leaders for action to fight climate change and address economic disparities in the world. Some are even calling for the dissolution of the G20 itself so that the United Nations becomes the platform for such discussions. The G20 summit comes at a time of major shifts in the global geopolitical landscape, with U.S. President Donald Trump's America First policies pushing Europe and China closer together. Source: Al Jazeera and news agencies. Europe-Germany protests.
Yes, Europe-Germany protests. That's all you need to know from that article. That is, yeah, Al Jazeera, I know. But hey, it's news without opinion on this guy. But anyway, so, and also, for the record, when it refers to First Lady Melania Trump en route, that was a meeting, allegedly, a meeting that she was going to be filling in for the president at. And I think that was that climate change meeting that she was filling in on. I'm a little sketchy on the details, so they, you know, it's a little hard. So, you know, I'm trying. I think that that's what that was. I think I was reading that a little bit earlier on. So you might be asking yourself, what is the G20? So the G20, the 20 largest economies in the world forced an international forum in 1999 to discuss policy matters and financial stability. Since 2008, economic downturn, the forum has met twice a year and also hosts meetings with finance ministers and central bank directors. The G20 is made up of 19 member states and the European Union. Excuse me. So who is in the G20? In alphabetical order this time. So, you know, we did stats last time. We're just doing straight up alphabetical order this hour, because why not? Argentina, Australia, Brazil, Canada, China, France, Germany, who were the grand hosts this year. India, Argentina, Italy, Japan, Mexico, Russia, Saudi Arabia, South Korea, Turkey, UK, US, and EU. 85% of world's gross domestic products come from those countries, and so does 2/3 of the world's population. Now, from memory, most of the world's population comes from India, I want to say, and the one with the most money was the US. But we did this thing last hour where we compared money to actual population. It was interesting, except it was kind of a technical storm the first hour of this program. But this hour's doing all right. We're doing all right. We're working through it, Dale. It's fine, Dale. It's fine. It's okay, Dale. It's okay. But it isn't. No, that's. That was my segue into that, but it's also talking me down. How how Donald Trump would like his first G20 to be remembered as savage assistant of his friendless visit to other world leaders is going viral online. ABC's political editor Chris Allman didn't pull any punches when he delivered his wrap-up of Trump appearance at the conference, calling him, quote, uneasy, lonely, awkward figure, who was left isolated and friendless, with no desire or capacity to lead the world. Jeepers. Ooh, ouch. He had a particular skill set. He was identified an illness in Western democracies, but had no cure for it. It seems intent on exploiting it, the veteran journalist said. Excuse me, where am I up to? And according to Allman, he had gave up any hope that speeches written for Trump and delivered by the man himself are any reaction to his thoughts. Quote, it is unscripted Trump that's real, a man who barks out a bile in 140 characters, who wastes his precious days as president at war with the West institutions like the judiciary and independent government agencies and the free press. Oof. We've got the full clip. Oh, here we go. What's this full clip? Oh, here we go. This is juicy. That's 2 minutes long. Wow. Here we go.
That the president of the United States has a particular skill set, that he's identified an illness in Western democracies, but he has no cure for it and seems intent on exploiting it. And we've also learned that he has no desire and no capacity to lead the world. The G20 became the G19 as it ended. On the Paris Climate Accords, the US was left isolated and friendless. But given that that was always going to happen, a deft president would have found an issue around which he could rally most of the leaders. And he had the perfect one, North Korea's missile tests. So where was the G20 statement condemning North Korea, which would have put pressure on China and Russia? Other leaders expected it. They were prepared to back it, but it never came. There's a tendency among some hopeful souls to confuse the speeches written for Trump with the thoughts of the man himself. He did make some interesting scripted observations in Poland about defending the values of the West, and he's in a unique position. He's the one man who has the power to do something about it. But it's the unscripted Trump that's real, a man who barks out bile in 140 characters, who wastes his precious days as president at war with the West's institutions like the judiciary, independent government agencies, and the free press. He was an uneasy, lonely, awkward figure at this gathering, and you got the strong sense that some of the leaders are trying to find the best way to work around him. Donald Trump's a man who craves power because it burnishes his celebrity. To be constantly talking and talked about is all that really matters, and there is no value placed on the meaning of words, so what's said one day can be discarded the next. So what did we learn? We learned that Donald Trump has pressed fast forward on the decline of the United States as a global leader. He managed to isolate his nation, to confuse and alienate his allies, and to diminish America. He will cede that power to China and Russia, two authoritarian states that will forge a very different set of rules for the 21st century. Some will cheer the decline of America, but I think we'll miss it when it's gone. And that's the biggest threat to the values of the West, which he claims to hold so dear.
Oh, oh boy. Okay, so that's fun. And how about fun times for everyone involved? Oh boy, that was that full clip from ABC political reporter Chris Oofman. Can't you tell I didn't... Okay, first of all, can't you tell that I didn't listen to that before the show? Maybe I should really start doing that. That's the second week in a row that I've been going, whoa, that took a different turn. Oh boy, well... The decline of the United States of America. Well, I'm there in August, so I'll be able to tell you. No, I think, and I experienced this last time. What I discover on this show, and what actually occurs day to day, like day after day, routine kind of stuff, is a little different than what we get through the media filter. And I think once you go to America, you realize this. You go, oh, it's completely different than what we've been accustomed to on, say, TV and throughout the media and all throughout the different terms. I mean, yeah, certain policy and certain aspects of this are different and kind of can shape a person's opinion and certainly definitely for kind of the sake of, you know, people maybe dismaying people from going to the United States because of stories like this and because of particular cases where people are saying this about, you know, a particular leader. I mean, it's tough. And then you get there and go, oh, okay. Sensationalization is a huge thing. Like, it happens all the time. And then, and people get images about Australia. It's vice versa as well. People get the images about Australia. They get here. You might see a spider occasionally, but they're not everywhere, and, you know, we have a rabbit-proof fence and a dingo fence, so that's fine. We just shipped all the dingoes off to one island, so that's exciting. That is what that is, sidebar. But when it comes to people like this, yeah, people have opinions about particular leaders, and yeah, it is their job to report the news, but going on a 2-minute tirade about nothing is kind of my job on a podcast, not on national news television. And I suppose we're getting to the point where popular, that opinion piece style reporting is becoming more prominent. And I'm guilty of it too. It's reporter bias, and I have it, but I think I'm a little bit more upfront about having it than, say, people on national television that are behind a news desk and whose job is to report the news. We have the moral of the story is, and we have to take a break, but the moral of the story is, bash your microphone onto the desk until you run out of points. The whole point of this is that, you know, I got so excited I kind of flipped it up in the air and it hit the desk. Impressive. I think there's kind of a blurred line where, say, back in the early 2000s we had this kind of current affair program, opinion panels, and news. And I think now, because we live in the 24-hour news channel cycle, I think it's kind of all blended into one. And I think we need to get back to that point where it's all separated. And then there's podcasts where there are some podcasts that straight up report the news and report headlines and have separate sections where it's clearly separate sections for opinion piece, whereas this show, it's all one. I suppose I'm part of the problem, but this is intended to be an opinion show as well as telling you the news. So it's telling you the news, have an opinion, go to an ad break. Like, that's the format of this show. So I guess this show doesn't really exist without that culmination of show. But this show actually has revolved from that straight-up news-telling to this, yeah, the straight-up news-telling and to this kind of all-in-one sort of talk-back-style show. So I suppose I'm part of the problem. Not a part of the solution, but we're upfront about that. We're not intended to be a straight up scripted news show anymore, whereas we were. And if I dropped a 2-minute rant about news reporters on that show, that would be kind of uncanny. But whereas on this show, you know, we talk about that sort of thing and it kind of culminates into this one big thing. I don't know. That's just my personal opinion. I'm going to yell that in my ear hole, so we're going to take a break as we continue here on the Generic Live Show. Well, I'm going to swap. I'm not going to swap them. We are making plenty of mistakes in the supermarket when we go grocery shopping. We'll tell you how to fix them as we continue. It's 10:23.
Hold on tight. This is the Generic Live Show.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Dale Kemper here with you. We're doing it for Geek.io. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday. Well, we all go grocery shopping and we all kind of do our shop grocery shopping the way we like to do it. But did you know that we are making mistakes every time we go to the grocery store? What? Shopping for groceries is one of those universal chores that most of us could do better at us. But here are 10 super common mistakes at a supermarket and then how to avoid them. What? Shopping on the wrong days. But at times, all times aren't equal when it comes to shopping. Consider shopping late in the day when bread, meats, and other foods with limited shelf lives tend to be marked down. Major chains generally run their weekly sales from Wednesday to Tuesday, so if you want to be picking up advertised special, time your visit around that. And then we got choosing the wrong checkout line. Most of us just want to get in and out of the supermarket with our bags of food. To do that as quickly as possible, we need a checkout strategy. Oh, bah, bah. The express lane, despite its name, might not be the fastest lane. Superstition damned lane 13, or one of those lanes in the far left might be a better choice. Or do the math. Estimate how many items that people are already in the line have in the basket. If you were doing self-checkout, do yourself a favor and just swipe the items without looking for a barcode. It'll save precious time. So just kind of swipe around until you do the until it beeps. Which that can kind of waste time, because I do that when I'm on the checkout line, and that can kind of do that. Buying too much food. Like other retailers, grocery stores are set up to trick you into buying more than what you need. Well, that's kind of their point. Even if you don't fall for their marketing tactics, again, that's their point, it is easy to grab too much, especially if things are on sale or something catches your eye or nose. The rotisserie chickens. Always shop to a list. Avoid buying in bulk if items are perishable. Also, leave the kids at home. That is a pro tip. As a person who works in a supermarket, pro tip. Yeah, leave the kids at home. I mean, not if you can't leave the kids at home. I understand if you have to bring your kids, you have to bring your kids. But, you know, you do that. On the flip side, some of us occasionally buy too little food. Forgetting stuff we need, we'll end up shopping last minute. Or worse, just getting takeout. Oh, reminder. I need puff pastry. I just need to remind myself... Remind myself on air to buy puff pastry. So when I'm listening to this tomorrow, when I do up the podcast, puff pastry will be on the menu. I'm making pie, and I have work on Tuesday, so I don't have enough time to make my own puff pastry. I'm lazy. I know. I get like that. I'm about making spinach and bacon pie. I'm not a vegan, so I like my bacon. Ah, speaking of which, buying produce out of seasons. Not really. just doing notes to self. Should I do a podcast just called Notes to Self? Notes to Self. Do this. Do-do-do-do-do. Jaunty music. Note to Self. Do this. Do-do-do-do-do. Note to Self. You're flying to America in 50 days. Anyway, buying produce out of season. Get back on track. When fruit and vegetables are in season, they're only cheaper, but they taste much better. Ignoring house brands. As often noted, house brands, the brands produced by the supermarkets themselves, are generally cheaper than brand name equivalents, often by a large margin. There you go. Ignoring house brands is the thing we're doing wrong. Okay. I thought you meant buying house brands is... Yeah, okay. Buying week to week. Buying only what you need for the week might sound like a frugal strategy, but as Kiplinger points out, as we end up paying full price for the majority of what we put into our trolley, although not buying too much, see number 8, if you have room in your freezer or pantry to stock up on items that you might not always use when they go on sale, use freezer cooking to prepare meals later in the week and the month to use up on your stock supplies. That might be a good idea. We'll see about that. I actually do need to restock my pantry. Note to yourself, restock your pantry. Okay. Not knowing the price of foods you regularly buy. When your groceries, even when groceries are on sale, do you know they're a good buy when you should stock up? A price book. Keep tabs on price you regularly buy at different stores, so you will never fall for a fake sale again. Shopping on an empty stomach. You've heard this before, but bars repeating, do your grocery shopping on a full stomach, otherwise everything in the store might be too tempting. There you go. And number 1, not having a meal plan. In short, you need a plan when shopping. Perhaps the most important is to plan your meal plan, which solves several common mistakes Here's how to get started with planning your weekly meals. We plan meals here at HQ, and it has saved us a bit of money, so, you know, and leftovers too. Making, like, if a recipe calls for 4 servings, you know, not eating too much and ensuring we have leftovers. Which, again, note to self, take pumpkin soup to work, because I made a batch of homemade pumpkin and ginger soup, and that needs to be eaten, and that'll be lunch tomorrow. There you go. My microphone is doing weird things. Stop that. Stop. All right, as we continue, here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, well, BlackBerry has released a new smartphone. What? And reviews for it aren't positive. They are not good at all. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. It's Dale Kemble here with you. Thanks for joining us here on GLS for a Sunday. It's a pleasure as always. It's 10:31. Whether we're waking you up or putting you to sleep, this is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Dale Kemble here with you. We're doing it for Geek.io. Thanks for joining us. It's a pleasure to be here as per always. Indeed. Thanks for joining us. It's good to be here. Why am I getting... Ooh, hang on. Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. Beep, 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 beep. Apparently. You know, movie tie-ins are a thing that exist in the world. But why... Okay. Now, why is... Now, I know there's a Spider-Man Homecoming game coming out. But why is there a new... computer being released for Spider-Man? Just want to put that out there. There is a Spider-Man Inspiron 15-7000 gaming with Intel Core i7 processor. You get 15% off. Why is that a thing? How is that a thing? Also, why is that a thing all over my screen right now? That's the better question. Ooh, I do need to... I got a trip to the States coming up. By the way, 50 days until I go to America today. Just want to put that out there. It's coming up quick. But why? Laptops are so good. I need a new laptop. I need a new setup, actually, to be completely fair. If this has taught me anything. So there you go. But, ugh. Okay. The BlackBerry, back to BlackBerry, a piece of technology that I'm not getting is the BlackBerry Key 1 is the smartphone that should have stayed in the early 2000s. Ooh. Here's the new BlackBerry smartphone on the market, and it's not very impressive. Let's face it, straight out of the early 2000s. Millennials across the globe are losing their minds when announced the iconic nostalgia-evoking Nokia 3310, or 3310, was getting a modern-day overhaul in what could only be described as a ploy to create a similar hype for middle-aged white men, a 2017 version of BlackBerry. This guy's going for it. Has been released on the crowded smartphone market. Once the leading manufacturer in the world, BlackBerry sold more than 15 million smartphones every 3 months. Then came the rise of Apple, Samsung, and other smartphone brands, which forced one of the most iconic products of the internet era to fade off into obscurity. Poor old BlackBerry saw the writing on the wall and announced it would be shifting its focus to software, with the development outsourced to partners, which that's fine. There you go. Diversifying. It's a thing. Look it up, kids. Feeling there was still a lust for a keyboard-toting smartphone in the modern world, Chinese TV manufacturer TCL stepped up to the plate and created the BlackBerry-branded Key One. Oh, God, this has got a physical... okay. I can't hide my disappointment. Okay, that is... well, okay. The Key One features a BlackBerry iconic 35-button black-lit QWERTY keyboard. So it's a touch keyboard, even. Jeepers, it's not even... That is a touch... Is that a touch keyboard? The screen size has for the physical... No, it's a physical keyboard. Okay. If this doesn't sound the most appealing design of a smartphone, you are obviously not one of my dad's wearing golf-playing buddies. You are also correct. Okay. Well, there you go. Going for it. The obscure references. Whilst anosity might seem a little harsh now to use... It's the definition of, quote, highly unpleasant and distasteful object. Could not fit the device more perfectly. Design. There you go. The Key One blends the old with the new, has a physical keyboard and a 4.5-inch touchscreen. Okay. I suppose people like smaller phones, that's fine. Which is outlined in a silver embossed aluminium frame with backed with a dimpled soft touch plastic rear. Which, first of all, dimpled soft touch plastic rear is a joke that I can't say on this show. Gorilla Glass covers the front of the device. The Gorilla Glass. Okay. Harambe Glass covers the front of the phone. Gotcha. While a thick industrial design top bezel is home. Bezel. I always have to say that word in that voice. A bezel is home to pill-shaped ambient light sensor and front camera. Comes the camera. And a physical keyboard. One of the few features he loves about the design is the fingerprint scanner has obviously combined with the spacebar on the keyboard. Okay. However, impressive, the novelty feature is not enough to justify a big screen for the purpose of a physical keyboard. From this guy's perspective, he found the concept of the physical keyboard to be outdated and highly impractical, given the touchscreens offer a faster, easier to navigate, more versatile experience. Okay. Right, gotcha. The camera. From his experiences, cameras are one of the key features people consider when upgrading their device. With Apple and Hawaii's dual cameras leading the way, BlackBerry decided to only include a 12-megapixel rear-facing and an 8-megapixel front-facing camera is disappointing. The rear shooter is equipped with phase detection, autofocus, and a feature called fast focus lock, okay, which makes the camera sufficient at capturing decent quality photos with both HDR enabled and disabled. Sadly, this slightly above par quality did not extend to the moving targets or pics captured in low light conditions. The front-facing camera has the same struggles, of course, because it's a lower megapixel thing. Sadly, camera is the word I was looking for there. Sadly, this is slightly above par. Oh, that's, I just read that sentence. Additionally, the camera app has a few modes for some strange reason, all main features are hidden away in the camera settings menu. The Key One has the ability to shoot in 4K video at 30 frames per second and 1080p at 60 frames per second. Needless to say, if Instagramming pics is a part of large part of your life, stay away from this phone. There you go. Ouch. And there is a video here to break up all this talking, but... And how about I mute that? Ta-da! We're muting that because I say so. Alright, so here is a video. It's an ad, I'm assuming. For the phone, that is. Please tell me this is not just a slideshow. If it is, that would make my day. That would make GLS complete. Oh, it is just a slideshow, which is... Look at that. Oh, jeepers. Okay. I'll pause. It will retail for $549 in the US, which is about $100 cheaper than starting prices for the iPhone and Samsung flagship phones, which I suppose is good, I guess. I'm not too sure. What about everything else here? So everything else, the USB-C charging port is a welcome feature, while the 3505 mega amps battery is more than enough for a whole day of moderate use. Okay, that's fine. Only 32 gigs of storage, however, and they can extend using a micro SD card. That's fine. The phone runs on 7.11 Nougat and offers all access to the Google Play Store apps, whilst also maintaining a BlackBerry Twist. I almost said a Blueberry Twist. A Blueberry Twist. Which sounds like a delicious dessert. I would love a Blueberry Twist for my dinner. Because that sounds delicious. So, meanwhile, what else have we got here? So, BlackBerry Hub combines notifications into streamlined location with option for deep customization. One thing BlackBerry has managed to nail is the security features has been long known for. The DTEK security app frequently monitors your device security status levels, offers a rating, and keeps track of vulnerabilities. This person will admit that he was too young to ever be at the target market for the original BlackBerry, even though he's an older professional. He still can't see the use of the device. Australian reference for the win here, by the way. I just want to put this out here. He liked the optimism behind this play. It still feels like it's just so fresh. Hits of summer 2007 should be left in the past. For those people who don't get that reference, look up So Fresh, the hits compilation. It's legitimately, they use songs from like 3 months. So here is another, so here is basically a summary of a review after we watch an ad about eggs, because apparently GLS is sponsored by eggs. Who, by the... What the... Maybe we should do a pre-show or post-show thing where I just watch ads and commentate them. So here we go.
Clear of this atrocity. Middle-aged white men in suits are about to feel the same nostalgia millennials felt when the 3310 was re-released. Why? Because BlackBerry is back with a brand new device. It sounds mean, but, you know, it's not the greatest phone. It's a bit of an eyesore. It's thicker, heavier than the iPhone 7. It's this ugly strip here, this keyboard, and the keyboard is so strange to use. With a normal keyboard, you can sort of get your emojis, you can change languages, you can do anything with the hit of a button. With here, you sort of have to go alt, up, and it's all these different commands. It's just confusing, it doesn't work, it's a mess. The problem with the physical keyboard is it takes up some of the screen space. And this means when you're using apps, not all of them sort of custom make for the smaller display. So you chop off at least half of what you would see on a normal screen.
Oh, it's got a double keyboard as well. It's super weird. There's no point. That gives you even less screen space than you already
have. Hold the phone. Quite literally. It has a second... That's too funny. I didn't even think about that because they're Android apps. So... when you're doing Gmail, you're composing an email, which is what's being shown in the video here. Take the screen. Take my Samsung Galaxy 5 here. Maybe I shouldn't. Okay, I'm gonna do this anyway. So you've got. I'm gonna hold this up to the camera, and hopefully I can get on my mic still. So that from that part there, where my fingers are, that's the physical keyboard. Then you got the second keyboard, so then you've literally got like 1 inch of screen space to read your email. That's too funny. that is way too funny, and that is me showing my phone on the internet. That is not my wallpaper, by the way. That is Samsung. I don't know. Okay, sidebar. We'll get back to the rest of this review. But sidebar, excuse me. Sidebar, my phone updated the other day, and now every time I plug it in from 6 till 6, it does this weird good morning, good night thing, which is good. It cycles through peaceful wallpapers at night when I'm trying to sleep, but also when I'm trying to produce a podcast. But there you go. That is too funny. I didn't even think. So now you've got, like, yeah, 2 inches to produce emails. That's too funny. Okay. Never really thought that. All right, so...
It's ridiculous.
Why would you want that for a physical keyboard? I mean, the novelty's fun, but the buttons are super close together. And for somebody with little sausage fingers, it doesn't work great. The cool feature of the keyboard, the spacebar, is your fingerprint scanner. That's about the only good bit of the whole phone. BlackBerry, what are you thinking?
Ouch. Yeah, BlackBerry, what are you thinking? I've used BlackBerry before, and BlackBerry's fine. That's, you know, they're good, you know. I mean, it's, you know, it does the job. We used to have an old boss of mine used to use a BlackBerry for work and around the office and that sort of thing. And, you know, we used to use BlackBerry all the time, and it was fine back in, say, 2006, but say, in 2017, when you got iPhones that are faster as well, this one's not even that fast. Yeah, BlackBerry, you should stick to software. I'm sorry, BlackBerry software's doing well, though. They're doing alright. If you've got $500 to waste, I suppose you can buy this BlackBerry phone. So there you go. And the coolest feature is the spacebar fingerprint feature. Wow, okay. Brutal. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, it's a pleasure. Why, everything just refreshed then. Man, today, technical errors, ahoy. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, vending machines are everywhere. But did you know they're not all filled with snack foods? We've got some weird and wonderful vending machines coming up right next on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here with you. Thanks for joining us. It's a pleasure as always. We're doing it for Geek.io. It's 10:50. Eight out of 10 fictional doctors say that you should start your day the Generic Live Show way. This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. That's right, we're heading into the final segment of the show. Aww, unfortunately. Yeah, we're heading into the last little portion of the Generic Live Show, and if I could peel back the curtain for a little bit, ladies and gentlemen, today's episode hasn't been the best, but thanks for joining us here anyway on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. We're still fairly new at this Twitch streaming, so I might miss a couple of things, so, you know, we're working it out. It's only our third week on Twitch, you know, we can't do this every, you know, we can't instantly be masters of all of this, and it's a team of one, so, you know, there you go. We're just going to put that out there. For someone who trolled me earlier, you know, why not? Trolls. I don't know why I'm responding to them. But, you know, we had a good show. We've had a laugh. We've had a couple of laughs. We talked about the show about nothing a little bit earlier on. So there you go. Our one of the program, we talked about the show about nothing. So there you go. A couple of housekeeping notes. You know, I finished for podcast listeners who've been following along. I've passed all of my undergrad degree, so I'm going to be qualified with a Bachelor of Business Marketing and Human Resources here next March while I wait for graduation. Yeah, I know. There you go. That's always fun. And it is 50 days until I fly to America. So there you go. Dale takes on America 2, Electric Boogaloo. This time it's more US, I guess. I don't know. That's that's some housekeeping notes for the week. There you go. That's your housekeeping. Now to weird vending machines. You can now eat gourmet vending machine food. Ooh. No longer are you limited to packets of chips and a can of Coke. Vending machines around the world now dispense farm fresh produce, caviar, and even bottles of Moe, or as I like to call it, Moet. If you've even got a little bit of extra cash to throw around, maybe you can buy some gold or a brand new Ferrari. Ooh, what? A brand new Ferrari okay. Alright, let's go. Champagne. You can buy these are located at the Gold Coast, Las Vegas, and Selfridges in London. What you get, the Star Gold Coast Garden Kitchen and Bar is the first venue in Australia with champagne vending machines of Moet and Chandon. Think you need a glass? Drink the bubbly through a gold sipper in the bottle. You can truly desperate you can't find a bartender to bring you a glass. Yours is just $29 each for a little bottle of champagne. Ouch. You can buy... Oh man, how can I talk about this next one in a PG show? Come on! Who does this to me? You can buy pleasuring devices for yourself. Self devices in Philadelphia. What you get is a Philadelphia vending machine company, Pink Box, delivers these boxes of toys. And they range from $4 to $99. Each product is curated and hand-picked from a person who is an expert. So, there you go. How does one define themselves as an expert in that field? Anyway, that's a question for the post. That's a question for another time. Gold. You can pick them up in Las Vegas, Abu Dhabi, and Dubai. But of course... What you get? Gold to Go thought they would be onto something when they first launched a vending machine exclusively selling gold in vending machines. Rumor has it. The machines are slowly being removed because no one is really investing in gold anymore. Next up, we've got Socks and Jocks, Japan and USA. What you get? You can find vending machines selling underwear all over Japan. The idea is to use them and throw them out. You put them on and you... Okay, that's interesting. If you're a roving traveller, it definitely makes sense. No dirty laundry. Okay, that's fair. I don't know what that noise I just made was. Crabs! You can get crabs! In China, for just 20 RMB, for about $4, you get uber fresh hairy crabs and a crab vinegar dipping sauce. As well as two ginger... Yeah, this is not related to the thing earlier. Let's not do that. The vending machines are stocked daily during the months of August to October when it's crab season. You can get fast food out of these in Italy, USA, and Australia. Pizza. Australia's cost you more pizza than other fast food, so it makes sense to have pizza in a vending machine, right? And in Singapore you can get luxury cars. How does that work? Okay. And then in the USA you can get cigars, caviar, and instant luxury. Guitar strings in Melbourne and Oregon. Bike parts and bikes in Brooklyn, USA, and Amsterdam. And then you've got bananas, eggs, rice, cabbage, and farm produce in Japan, of course. Jeans, sneakers, and thongs from Havana's. Plates to smash. Putin memorabilia, of course, in Russia. Oh, you can get Putin memorabilia. That's too funny. Right. Of course you can get Putin memorabilia in Russia. I'm surprised that's probably all the vending machines in Russia is just, it's just Putin memorabilia all day long. That's probably what that is. Every street corner is just Putin everywhere. Thanks for joining on that lovely, lovely note. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's been a pleasure as always. It's Dale Campbell here. Thanks for joining us. It's 11 o'clock.
This has been a Geek.io Media Network production. Copyright 2017.